Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page, click on Million Dollar Business, get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Melvin Paley. How you doing, Melvin?
I'm doing better than good, doctor. Thank you for having me on here.
Awesome. It's an honor to have you. And Melvin is actually on the show right now. He is in South Africa right now. So it's an honor to have him with us now.
Thank you. It's such a joy being here.
Absolutely. So Melvin, for the folks who may not necessarily know you out there, can you briefly tell our audience a little bit about you and where they can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. So my name's Melvin. I currently live in Dallas, Texas. I am South Africa at the moment. And you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Just type in my name in Google, Melvin Paley, and you'll find me there.
Awesome. You're going to be amazed by his story. Very incredible story today. So Melvin, as you know, our podcast centers on bringing amazing people like you on and having you talk us through, one of the most difficult times in your life and how you got through it. So our listening audience can kind of have a blueprint, if you may, in terms of how they can be successful and going through their own struggles as well. So I'm going to start with my first question is, what's been the biggest struggle you've had to overcome? I know you have grew up in rural South Africa in the midst of poverty during the apartheid, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So for many of us, Melvin, in the Western Hemisphere, we heard about a lot of things that were taking place in South Africa in the era of apartheid, but many of us don't really know what that was like. Tell us what that was like for us, please.
Thank you. You know, one of the things growing up with apartheid, we didn't even know that we were different. Mm. I didn't know people out. So it was kind of an unusual thing with all the discrimination and all the things that were normal for people to be treated in such a manner. Only when I grew up as an adult and left South Africa did I actually realize just how oppressed and challenged I was.
Wow.
So, yes, it was an unusual time. We were taught to not trust anybody that looked differently. Mm-hmm. Nobody could be trusted. Everybody was out to hurt you, harm you, and kill you. Wow. So that's how we grew up as children. Although I had friends of different race groups, and we were friends, we were buddies. Uh-huh. But that mindset was instilled in my heart, and I was afraid of everybody.
Wow. That is absolutely incredible. Again, you know, I grew up in the 70s here, so I heard my parents go through some of those things here in the United States of America. But for being a young person in South Africa, faced with a lot of those challenges, tell us what the feelings were that you had to kind of deal with and grapple with as you're being told that you can't trust anyone and that some of the folks may be out to actually take your life.
Sure. I would say it started off at first with me not trusting. That led to me despising people and ultimately becoming angry and then hatred setting as a young man.
Yeah.
because we grew up in such poverty. We struggled for food. Everything was difficult. And then I'd see people just living well.
Yeah.
And hatred came in because of fear, Doctor. I was so afraid of people. And we were told as young children, know your place. Do not look at people in the eyes because you are unworthy.
Wow.
So as a young man, that is how we grew up. And it was wrong. It was an absolutely wrong mindset. But that's all I knew.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Melvin, I really appreciate you being honest and transparent about this. That is very, very powerful for people to tell you not to look someone else in the eye because you're not worthy of looking them in the eye.
So
of course, you are a very successful man today. I'm very proud of that. How did you cope with dealing with that at the time as a young person? Because somehow you managed to cope with it and make it beyond it. So what were your strategies for coping with it?
You know, it was an incident that happened, Doc. I was a young man, I'm going to say just under 10 years, somewhere around there. A group of my friends, we went to a beach. And in South Africa at the time, you went to the same beach, but one area was purely for whites and the other for non-whites. Mm-hmm. So there were no boards or signs, but we all knew our places. Mm-hmm. And so I was playing in the area where the non-white kids were playing. And this little white girl and little white boy walked up to me. And the little boy said to me, would you like to play with us? Mm. And instantly I thought he was going to draw me into his group and hit me and beat me up and spit at me. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I can't play with you. And then his little sister did something that changed my life. She stuck out her hand and held my hand and said, please, I would like for you to come play with us.
Wow.
Instantly, the fear left me, hatred left me, everything left me, and I felt free.
Yeah.
That moment was transformational. And then we played together. And then something happened that I often reflect upon. As we played together, her little brother, Brian, fell on a rock. He hurt himself and he started to bleed, nothing serious. Mm-hmm. As his elder sister patched him up, I thought to myself, wow, they cry and they bleed just like me.
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
But I saw it with my own eyes and I said, wow, he is just like me.
Yes.
So that was that moment in my life.
Wow, that's so powerful, Melvin. A moment of reckoning that we as human beings, we share and have a lot in common. And those differences that we come up with are simply things that kind of divide us, not keep us together. You know,
as
you were kind of grappling with this and kind of transforming to this place of now where you're loving all mankind, because you're definitely a lover of mankind. I love it and see it in your work. Did you have mentors or guides to kind of help you navigate that space? I know you had the first experience as a 10-year-old, but as you kept going and elevating out of that space of apartheid, operating in apartheid, did you have others to kind of help you say, okay, here's the things you need to think about?
Sure. Because of the Group Areas Act, we lived in our communities. Mm-hmm. So I had zero exposure of other people. Mm-hmm. However, miraculously, God sent some people to me. Wow. And one guy, he's passed on now. His name was Michael. He was a friend of my brother's. He looked me in my eye at age 7 or 8 and said something to me. He said, live your life in such a manner that if you are the president of the country one day, nobody would be able to point a finger at you.
Wow.
Be a man of character.
Yeah.
And even though I was a tiny little boy, those words were seared upon my heart.
Yes.
And I never forgot it.
Yes.
So he was the first person. And then my mom and dad hadn't finished high school. In fact, they didn't finish primary school. They spoke broken English. But my mom, I would say, was a mentor, and my dad was a mentor. My mom taught me to pray for everything, even though she was not a Christian.
Yes.
She said, ask this God, Jesus, he's a big God.
Yes.
Whatever you want, ask him. So she taught me the power of prayer. Okay. And my dad knew only a few words of English. And his few words impacted me. He said, do not worry about anything.
Yes. Wow.
So those were three very influential people in my life as a young man.
Some very wise people, wise words, I think that we can all kind of grow and live by as well. So as you look back on this journey, though, what do you think stopped you? Well, obviously, you didn't stay at a place where you were bitter, okay? Because there are a lot of people who go through those situations where they feel like they've been oppressed and mistreated by other groups of people. And some of us become very bitter and we stay in that space and we never evolve beyond it, okay? You didn't do that. What do you think motivated and kept you going to say, hey, you know what? No, I'm not gonna let these things stop me from connecting with you and stop me from loving you and stop you from loving me and connecting with me. What kept you going?
It was a thought that my dad gave me. And I would call it a thought of honesty and sincerity. An incident happened where it wasn't bad. Somebody did something bad to me and I was upset. I was angry. And my dad said to me, it was a racist act. It was bad. And I came home, I was upset. And my dad said to me, no, son, forgive. And I said, but why, Dad? He said, because that man is doing something that his parents taught him to do. Yes. And my dad looked me in my eye and said to me, you know, son, if you grew up like that man, you would most likely do the very same thing yourself.
Yes.
And, yeah. You know, honestly, when I look at my life, if I grew up in that environment and that circumstances, I would have behaved very much like that young man.
Absolutely.
And it was a honest, sincere thing. I'm not saying it was right, but the environment and the culture and the way things were, honestly, I would have done the same thing. So I didn't want to judge him for something that I would have done myself.
Right. Great insights. Your father sounded like a very noble and wise man as well. So, yes. You know, as you look back today, Melvin, how would you say that your experience in South Africa, growing up in poverty and rural South Africa and apartheid, how did that shape who you are today?
I would say that it shaped me to value education.
Yes.
Value upskilling oneself.
Yes.
To value yourself with confidence. And as Mahatma Gandhi said, and then Helena Roosevelt said it much later, she said, nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent.
Absolutely, yes.
That so moved upon me and told me I have to give another person permission to make me feel unworthy and just totally inferior.
Yes.
So when I reflect upon that, the hardships, the struggles in South Africa, as I travel the world, and of course in America with its diverse beauty, the ability to work with all types of people and backgrounds, understanding personalities, understanding how people think, I would say the best university couldn't have taught me how to deal with people, Doc.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Melvin. There's no experience like firsthand experience, right?
Correct.
Absolutely. So, Melvin, as you reflect back again today, would you do anything differently on your journey to being where you are today? You're a renowned speaker, coach, and consultant. Would you do anything differently on your journey?
I would say there are a couple of moments where I should have not said things as harshly as I did in the past. Mm-hmm. I've learned now not to judge, not to be harsh, but to allow grace and patience instead of quickly reacting.
Yes.
And everybody has a story.
Yes.
And so many people behave in the way they behave. If I only understood their story, I would not be upset.
Yes. That is profound. I am a big believer that it is hard to hate a person once you know their story.
It's like absolutely. A
person's story. Yeah. That is profound there. Yeah. That is profound. So Melvin, you know, we're coming off a year 2020 that's been very difficult to a lot of people out there. People have lost loved ones, lost finances, lost material possessions, even lost hope in some situations, Melvin. What words of encouragement can you provide those folks out there with to let them know that a better day is going to come?
Sure. I can't say any other thing except we must believe in God.
Yes.
We must believe in ourselves. And we, even though hope sometimes seems so distant, it is our gift to hold on to hope.
Yes.
If we totally give up hope, we have got zero.
Yes.
Irrespective of how hard, we all have suffered this past last year. Some have suffered much more than others. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at the circumstances are different, but the tears are the same.
Absolutely.
Let us have compassion for each other. Let us not lose hope in people. Let us never, ever allow hope to leave our hearts.
Yes. Boy, that's powerful there, Melvin. I mean, those words right there, I think they're going to be an inspiration to a lot of folks out there who are struggling and trying to find the right side of a life as well. So Melvin, your story is incredible. Hopefully you guys have been inspired by Melvin's story out there as well. Incredible guy. Melvin, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you again?
The quickest way is Facebook, Melvin Pillay. Secondly, LinkedIn, Instagram, and honestly, even Google works. Just type in my name, Melvin Pillay. I'm one of the few people that I pop up right, the number one guy.
That is good. Now you've made it now. You really made it now. You're first on Google. Yes. You have made it, man. That is awesome. Hey, so Melvin, we've talked about some tough stuff. Are you ready to have a little fun on the podcast?
Let's do it.
Okay, this part of the podcast is called a rapid fire purpose questions. I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I simply want you to give me and the audience your best and your concise answer. You ready?
Correct.
Okay, let's go. Here we go. So Melvin, tell us an example of how you turned a dream into reality.
I was dead broke as a salesman. I had one dream, to be a public speaker. Mm. Terribly inferior, afraid. I eventually became a Zig Ziglar Platinum speaker, motivational speaker. Now I speak around the world. And I did it because I said to myself, one day I am going to stand on the same stage that Zig Ziglar stands on, and I'm going to speak. And that became a reality.
Wow, that's awesome. I love it. That's awesome. I love it. Melvin, what gives your life meaning?
Jesus Christ.
Yes. Awesome. What one word best describes you?
Inspirational.
What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Hatred.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
To think deeply about everything that matters.
I like that. Yeah. What do you wish you had more time to do, Melvin?
Travel.
Yeah. Absolutely. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Doing exactly what I'm doing this very second.
Good. I'm sure he's proud of me. Who inspires you the most?
Zig Ziglar. All his recordings, all his teaching, all his tapes, everything I can find.
That's awesome. Yeah, great guy to follow. Yes.
Yes.
What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I'm actually a very shy person. I don't like the limelight. I don't like the stage. I don't like that. Right. I like to sit alone by myself.
Wow. How ironic. You're doing the stage thing now. I love it. Melvin, what's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Right now, I'm in South Africa working with government leaders, business leaders, and church leaders. We're actually planting churches here. We're actually doing motivational events and seminars. So for the next year, we'll be here in South Africa and back in the U.S. as well.
Awesome. I love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Praying.
Yes. Good. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you, Melvin?
That granddad was a man who prayed, believed God with faith.
Yes, I love it. Melvin, if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Love.
Oh, that's a good one. You can't beat that. Can't beat that one. What sparks your creativity?
Deep thinking.
Melvin, if you became president today, what law would you pass?
I would pass the law of loving thy neighbor.
I love it. Yes. Good. Good one. You get my vote there. You get my vote. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Always been Zig Ziglar, honestly.
I kind of figured it was going to be Zig Ziglar, yeah.
Yes.
Couldn't go wrong there as well. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Their time. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
From a five to seven-year-old girl at an event I spoke, 1,000 leaders. The little girl came up to me and said, Mr. Pillay, that was the most inspirational message I've heard in my entire life.
Wow. Wow. So that's really good for you to be able to convey it in a way that a five-year-old understands. That's beautiful. Yes. What's been one thing, Melvin, you've never been afraid to do?
To take a chance.
Yeah.
Attempt the impossible. I've never, ever been afraid.
Yes. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
The day I decided to love, overcome anger and hatred.
Yes. I love it. What does success look like for you?
To be where God wants me to be, to do what God wants me to do, and to live how God wants me to live.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Good answer. Yeah, I love it. What are you most grateful for?
What Jesus died for me on the cross, and what he did for me. He saved me.
Absolutely.
And has given me eternal life.
Yeah. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
It would be that people are difficult, challenging, messy. They may hate you. And the lesson I've learned is this: keep your heart guarded above all else.
Yes, I love it. Great lesson there. And last but not least, Melvin, how do you want to be remembered in history?
A man who was a friend to millionaires, billionaires, orphans and widows, and every other person on earth.
That is awesome, Melvin. Great job. Give yourself a round of applause, man. You survived, man. Great job. Great job. Awesome job, Melvin. Hey, very encouraging, very enlightening, folks. Hope you guys have been inspired by Melvin's story out there as well. Hey, Melvin, if people want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to contact you?
The best way would be Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, and then Instagram as well.
Remember, he's the number one name that comes up on Google. So he's doing very well. He's making it easy for you to find. Yes. So Melvin, last but not least, our show focuses on two things: resiliency and purpose. What last words can you leave our audience with around resiliency and purpose?
Sure. Never let excuse and comfort rob you from your life's purpose. Remember, people, as Zig Ziglar used to say, people don't fail, they just give up.
Yes, yes. Very well said. Folks, I hope you were inspired by Melvin's story. You're talking about a guy who went from living in a tin shack in South Africa, rural South Africa, doing apartheid, now is one of the best speakers around the country, around the world here. So very phenomenal. Melvin, I appreciate your time. So folks out there, if you are someone who's an overcomer, you have an amazing story, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com, share your story with us, subscribe to his podcast, Resilient Stories, download it, rate it, share with your folks on social media. Again, Melvin, my friend, thank you very much for joining us today. Everyone else out there, peace, God bless, and deuces, everyone.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.